What's up, first thing first listeners? It's your boy Shay Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
First things first, Chef Curry with the shots. Can he make what was once an improbable run at MVP? The Bucks figured out how to stop the Chiefs. Will all the other teams copy that same game plan now moving forward? Could Cam Newton be back in New England? Good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. Hey, KW, you want to run that back? Cam and the Patriots again next year?
Yes, well, not literally run it. I would like to see more throwing, but if we have to run it back, sure.
Oh, you'll throw it back. Well said. Well played. But we got to start this morning in Seattle, where the seed was planted earlier in the week. Russell Wilson isn't happy. He could want out. Man of the year, Russell Wilson. Seahawk for life, Russell Wilson. Now, anybody's guess, Russell Wilson. It's reported yesterday Seattle's gotten a bunch of calls from a number of teams. But the Seahawks reportedly not interested. So, Brandon, let's kick off this conversation like this. What is more likely week one next season? Russ is a Seahawk or Russ is playing for another team?
Yeah. Jenna, I think this is the player in me. I don't want to get caught up in what ifs because this is truly guys' livelihoods on the line. You talk about Dwayne Brown, the left tackle. You talk about Bobby Wagner. You talk about even Pete Carroll. So to get into what if game, I think it's irresponsible. Look, if Russell Wilson is on that roster come week one, then that means Pete Carroll went to Russell Wilson, sat down, and they had a conversation. They compromised around two things. Number one, offense. And I think they're close to being on the same page there. I think Russ, well, I know Russ was a part of that process when it came to finding that offensive coordinator. So they're good there. The other part of the conversation is around what are you going to do in the draft? What are you going to do in free agency? How are we going to go from only spending, you know, $22 million, $23 million on our offensive line to $52 million on our offensive line when you talk about where the great teams spend money, the Las Vegas Raiders and the New Orleans Saints. I think that's what happens if he's on that roster. You got to look at it and you got to say, look, our right guard, who is he? Our right tackle, who is he? Not, oh, we have a plan. And if plan A falls through, what is plan B? Those are the conversations that they need to have so they can get back on track. They can get back on the same page and get back to balling. Like, I would love to see Russell Wilson there. I think we all would love to see Russell Wilson stay in Seattle, Nick. But they got to sit down. They got to have the conversation around those two things, the philosophy and then also the personnel.
I believe Russ is more likely to be playing for Seattle, but I cannot believe this is where we are so quickly. Wilds, this feels like, last week you get a call from your accountant. He's like, hey, just want to put it on your radar. I think we owe a little bit in back taxes. And then this morning, you get a call from your lawyer, and it's like the feds are asking when you want to surrender yourself. And it's like, wait, what happened? I thought everything was fine. Like, how are we now discussing? Is it more likely he's not a Seahawk? Like, this really seemed to escalate awful quickly. And I do wonder when Brandon says they're going to have to reach a compromise, which side is more likely to give more than the other? Because both sides do have a fair amount of leverage in that Seattle has the leverage of you got three more years on your contract, and Russ has the leverage of you've only known me as consummate pro Go Hawks Russell Wilson. I could introduce you to empowered, you know, I don't want to say me first in a bad way, but worried more about myself than the team, Russell Wilson. That's a guy you might not like as much. So it's a very touchy situation.
Yeah, so if Seattle, Nick, is 100% committed to Russell Wilson, they have a funny way of showing it. Because I haven't seen one radio interview, one TV interview. I haven't even seen a clever meme. And this situation seems very easy to diffuse. You just get up there, you're Pete Carroll, you call into a radio station, you can come on this show. I know it's a little early on the West Coast. Come on in and say, listen, I know Russ is frustrated. We're all frustrated. This is the heart of a champion. But I promise you this, I will work tirelessly, just like the entire organization will, to make sure that Russell Wilson is holding another Lombardi trophy in a Seattle Seahawks uniform. And we'd be like, oh, hey, Pete Carroll, thanks for the interview. Looks like we're not going to be able to discuss Russ moving anymore because that's it. But, Brandon, because that hasn't happened, there's more fuel in the fire. And my favorite one,
right?
My favorite rumor slash report is this one from Jason LaConfora. I thought this was a brilliant article and made total sense. Talking about Mark Davis. Mark Davis landed his dream coach. His franchise is poised to be the crown jewel of the league, tapping into its rich history, worthy of hosting Super Bowls, NCAA title games, maybe the World Cup. But Davis has yet to make a truly iconic move with his roster. A signature acquisition to tie all of this together. Wilson could most definitely be that guy. I was like, woo! And I know you don't want to go down too far down speculation lane, but that one makes a lot of sense to me, Brandon.
There's only maybe 2 to 3 scenarios that really make sense. The Saints make a lot of sense, but the Saints are $100 million over the cap around there, something like that. Resident GM, you can help me out there. And then you got the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears are probably willing to do whatever they can and whatever it takes to get Russell Wilson in Chicago in the Windy City. And then this one, this is a great situation for him. You look at Henry Ruggs, you're looking at Nelson Aguilar, who got his career back on track, Josh Jacobs. You also have Darren Waller, and they spent around $50 million on that offensive line. That was a big thing that came out. What started all this stuff again, Jason LaConfora coming out saying he needs to be protected. He wants to be protected. So they have the offensive line there. They made the investment there. Defensively, Nick, they're struggling a little bit there. But I want to throw this to you, Nick, but I want to end with this. Pete Carroll, there's no reason to force this if you don't believe in Russell Wilson. Because if you're saying that you want to play good defense, you want to run the ball, and you just want a quarterback that can throw it here and there, and you can build it off the play action, isn't that Baker Mayfield? That's Baker Mayfield. So I just think that all of this is interesting, and both sides could potentially get what they want. I don't think Pete Carroll's philosophy, he needs an all-time quarterback.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, and I think it might be best if we put all four of us on the screen here, because I have a confession to make to my colleagues, and then I have something that I need to debut. The confession is this. If I've seemed a little distracted, a little off my game this week, it is not because I have been filling in on the hurt. It's because I have been offered, potentially, the chance to interview for another job. And I can't say what it is, who it is, but it's in a front office of a team. And in preparation for that job interview, I have created what I consider my masterpiece. Brandon, I'm going to run this by you. This is a four-team NFL super trade. And you tell me who says no. The Seattle Seahawks get Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Bosa, the 23rd pick of the draft from the Jets, and the Niners' number one pick. The San Francisco 49ers get Deshaun Watson. The Houston Texans get the second pick, the 12th pick, the 34th pick, the Jets' number one next year, and Sam Darnold. And the New York Football Jets get Russell Wilson.
Right, this is great.
So in that scenario, Sierra gets to live in New York. Brandon's going to have to do a little sales job on the Jets to Russ, but I think he can do it. The Texans get the second pick of the draft, three other first rounders. Pete Carroll gets that play action quarterback, defensive stud. San Francisco gets Deshaun Watson. Who says no, Brandon Marshall? four-team super trade.
Brilliant.
Who says no, my friend?
That's really good.
I hate to say this, but I don't think Russ is going to the Jets. I don't think he's going to the Jets.
They got Mekhi Becton.
I think Russ says no.
They got a bunch of money. It's New York City.
They got you,
Sierra.
Brandon.
It's time to take a sacrifice for her. You got to sell him on it.
When there was a lot of talk about Deshaun going to the Jets, I got excited. But we got to do a little bit more on the recruiting side, Jenna.
Okay, we'll break this down for you.
You're going to get a job. I liked it. I say laminate that. We'll go over that once again. So Russ may be on the block. How about Cam Newton? What does his future look like after... I'd call it a disappointing year in New England. Wait till you hear what he told Brandon last night. This is First Things First.
Hey, First Things First listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports. Plus, a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
All right, guys.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
I was home reading Harry Potter to my children last night. Brandon was hanging out with Cam Newton on his I Am Athlete podcast. We're like the same, me and you, Brandon. We lead the same lives. The hot topic for them, though, Cam's future. Brandon, Cam told you he'd be happy to come back to New England. Is that what the Patriots want, though? Who knows? Take us through what Cam told you last night.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I had an opportunity to spend all day with Cam from, you know, when he landed, coming in from Atlanta, working out, then going into, you know, the podcast that evening. And it was awesome to be around him. Everything that we talked about early on in the year and the things that were coming out from New England as far as him being the first one in, last one out, how everyone loves him. He was a great leader. Like, you could see it right away. But there was three things that I wanted to get to, and I was really intentional with this when I sat down with him. And I think everybody wanted to hear is, like, what the hell happened, Cam? You know, pre-COVID, we're talking about, Wiles, you're the one to ask the question. I think it was week three. Should New England be considering extending him? Like, that was a debate on this very show. So pre-COVID, first game of the season against the Miami Dolphins, 15 rushes, 75 yards. He didn't have his legs under him, but he looked like, oh, wow, like, this looks like the old Cam. And then the second week, he goes out to Seattle, Sunday Night Football, our guys calling the game. He throws for 397 yards. And it comes down to the very end. They do a quarterback sweep left. He doesn't get it, gets stuffed. And then there's this whole debate about did Josh McDaniels call the right call. He stands on the podium, stands up for him. And so, like, that's where we were. Then all of a sudden you get hit with COVID-19. And then it seems like the wheels fell off. So that was one of the things that I wanted to hear from him. Like, what happened? The other thing was, what's next? And then the last thing is, what's going on with the shoulder? Reports coming out, like, are you declining? Are you done? So the very first thing, when you talk about COVID, he just said, like, New England don't stop. Like, the Patriot way, everything we talk about, it's like, when I came back, new terminology, new game plan. He's like, when I get out there before, white 80, and he's at the line, it's clicking. He feels good about it. And then when he came back, it's like, white 80, what the heck's going on? And not really feeling comfortable in the system. And he started talking about, and I think these things came out, you know, as far as needing that time and giving himself that time, not coming in thinking that, oh, yeah, I can be Superman in the classroom. So that's what that was really telling for me. And then as far as what next, I'm like, Cam, can you see yourself going back to New England? And he's like, yeah, absolutely loved it. But he was really, I would say, vulnerable and really, you know, he pulled back the curtain on a New England way. He pushed back on certain things. And it was interesting to see him talk about Bill Belichick, talk about Josh McDaniel, talk about the Patriot way, talking about, you know, how do you go from 20 years being in one system with the GOAT, Tom Brady, and then insert me and then try to do that. So it was really interesting. And the whole arm thing, Kevin, he feels like it comes down to understanding the offense. And it was more mental than physical, him understanding he was playing bad and about to be taken out. So awesome time with Cam. A lot we learned.
Okay, so I can't tell. First of all, I'm going to watch the heck out of this podcast. You know, I'm going to watch it on YouTube, and then I'm going to listen to it at the same time. That's how excited I am. And just to have, it's going to be a surround sound experience for me.
Of course you are. That's
but
your team.
This is what I'm confused about, the whole thing, Nick. The guy was benched a few times. He had four games where he was through under 100 yards. He had threw for 8 interceptions. Just for the record, that's fewer than Dak Prescott. And overall, like, I get it that he was new in the system, but like, so was Justin Herbert. They weren't running the Oregon system, and he did fine. And then the eye test wise, Nick, I got two issues. Sometimes the balls are just coming out and like landing on the ground. He just doesn't look great. And then other times, it's like this Texans play, if we can show, it's like, oh, Cam Still's got it. I mean, granted, the throw looks a little laborious. That's what I'm confused by. So I have there's a lot of other options out there quarterback-wise, and it just seems I can't put a finger on it. Like, do I want Cam to be my starting quarterback? So you're our resident GM. You can make the call for me.
I don't know, Wilds, that I agree with you that right now there are a lot of other options out there. Like, who are we talking about? Jimmy Garoppolo is the one everyone's going to mention.
Yeah.
But San Francisco's got to get another, like, a different domino has to fall first for that, right? I don't think you're super excited about starting whichever quarterback you could draft 15th overall. So then who are we talking about as other options? Here is why I think Cam will be back with the Patriots, Brandon. That's the only team left he has some sweat equity with. It's the only team left.
Really?
He might have the... Yeah, I in this regard. I think Cam has some benefit of the doubt with New England because Belichick clearly liked him. Belichick clearly liked and respected and appreciated how he handled himself. It's why he, even though he would take him out of games, he would always then make him the starter for the following week. So I think his margin of error and his grace period is bigger in New England than if he goes anywhere else except for, I guess, maybe Washington, like because Ron Rivera's there. But Ron Rivera could have brought him to Washington with him last year
and didn't.
I don't think, Brandon, you obviously were with him.
But that's
clearly
we all talked about that. But that's why, I pushed back on you when you said the only team with sweat equity, because when we talked about, you know, going back to New England and what are the chances, he actually says, like, what opportunities did I have? I had no other options when you talk about last year going to New England. And then we talked about moving forward because there was reports like, is retirement on the table? He said, hell no. And then we talked about Washington, and he lit up when we talked about Riverboat Ron. He definitely did. So I think New England is a viable fit, a viable option, and also Washington.
That's
fair. I do want to say this, Wilds, because when you talk about Justin Herbert, when you talk about Justin Herbert and as far as the offense, that was one of the things that we talked about as far as the Patriot way. Yeah, I had Fred Taylor, who was also sitting there. He was a part of the Patriot way. You had Ocho Cinco. Your guy was out there. He was a part of the Patriot way. So we start diving into how complex this offense is. I had Josh McDaniels as my head coach in Denver, and I had to tell those guys I had the Patriot way, and they told me I didn't. But I, you know, I'm like, look, I understand. I get it. If you go 11 personnel, you go 11 personnel for most teams. Like, hey, 11 personnel. We got Brandon Marshall, Eddie Royal. We got Tony Scheffler. And we got Brandon Stokley. And we got a running back. That's it. In that offense, we're going to go 11 personnel. But it could be Army. It could be Navy. There's different type of personnel, different type of people coming in. Then you go tricks. You go Trey. You go trips. You go stack. You can go so many different things. And that's what makes the Josh McDaniels offense so sophisticated. And that's why he felt like he struggled after COVID, because they kept going and he was still stuck in week two, week three.
But, and just from the outside looking in, it looked like the other reason he struggled post COVID is he's just, it looked like it was painful to throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, right.
That Texans play notwithstanding. But Brandon, you're absolutely right about Washington. The point I'm making is, so as a for instance, Chicago needs a quarterback. If Cam looks the exact same during the offseason for New England as he would for Chicago, I think the benefit of the doubt with New England is greater because he has built those relationships, because the coaching staff knows him, because they appreciate how he handled himself. And I think it's important that he goes somewhere where he is going to have a margin for error as he tries to get his arm back right the way it once was.
I know Cam wants to go back to New England. It may not actually be Cam's choice, so we'll have to wait and see. All right, time now for Knicks NBA medals. How about Joel Embiid led the Sixers last night 35-9. Still wasn't good enough to beat Melo and that Portland team, so no medal for Joel. Nick, who we got on this Friday?
Well, the man that stole Joel's medal is going to be our bronze medalist. A medal for Melo. 17 fourth quarter points. Leading the Blazers over the best team in the East, the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel almost got a medal. Ben Simmons could have gotten a medal. Instead, Melo comes in and gets a medal. Jimmy Butler.
Love it.
Silver medalist for Jimmy Butler. Triple-double. A win over the very defensively sound Houston Rockets as the Heat try to claw their way back into the playoff picture. And Steph Curry, while he shouldn't be nowhere near an MVP ballot, he absolutely should be near the top of the podium. In fact, he should be at the top of the podium. 10 threes for Steph in a 6-point win over the Magic. Steph Curry with another gold medal, 40 points. Brandon Marshall, I think it's a flawless medal stand. Your thoughts?
Nick, I appreciate you, man. You're showing Carmelo Anthony some love. The very first time I sat in a seat on First Things First, we talked about Melo. We talked about Melo. And you laughed at me when I said I love Carmelo Anthony coming back to the NBA, his comeback tour. And now you see him go drop 17 in the fourth quarter. Carmelo Anthony's going to be 60 years old at the Rutgers dropping 50. Like, Carmelo Anthony can get buckets anytime he wants. Wilds.
That's right.
That's a good podium. Wilds, who missed the cut?
Oh, the first time ever. The literal missed the cut. Underhand three. Buckets. Just like that. So just the first literal missed the cut for the gold medal winner, Steph Curry. I think this should count. If you do a great circus shot after the buzzer, sure, count it. New NBA rule.
Yeah, he was protecting his field goal percentage. Got to do that before the buzzer. Come on, Steph. You know better.
Back to the NFL. We got a lot of big names making big moves this offseason. Where will your favorite receivers end up? Brandon's got all the answers next. First things first.
Hey, First Things First listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Black History Month is a perfect time to reflect on all of our Black heroes. And first, I want to highlight Rosa Parks. Growing up, I always enjoyed learning about U.S. history, specifically the Civil Rights Movement. I remember at a young age not being able to comprehend how Rosa Parks was treated for simply sitting in the front of a bus and refusing to give up her seat to a white man. I love this quote from her. "You must never be fearful when what you're doing is right." I also want to share how much I looked up to Oprah Winfrey and Serena Williams as a young girl and still do today. After school, watching Oprah with my mom was such a highlight. Seeing a strong and powerful woman working in an industry I aspired to work in impacted me in many ways. She inspired me that women, regardless of the color of their skin, could excel at whatever they set out to do. And growing up as an athlete, I saw Serena Williams as the most dominant athlete in the world. Unstoppable. Watching her today continue her success and now also doing it as a mother is about as inspiring as it gets.
Oh, I echo that from our friend Jenny Taft. Good stuff there. All right, time now for a new segment called Brandon's Free Agent Wide Receiver Fits, or the BFAWRF. Smooth. Let's start with Allen Robinson. Says he's open to return to the Bears, but Brandon, which team is the best fit for Allen Robinson?
Oh no, Jenna, that team's quarterbacks. Nick, how many quarterbacks did I have in my career? You're the first one to broke this news
17.
To me. How many quarterbacks?
17.
17 quarterbacks.
One good
this
one.
This guy's on his way. Blake Bortles, Trubisky, Foles, Tyler Bray. Who's Tyler Bray? Chase Daniels, Chad Henne. Like, this dude needs to go find a quarterback. So my advice to Allen Robinson, wherever Deshaun Watson go, brother, you go. Call him right now. You guys get on the same page. I absolutely love this because this is a dude in Deshaun Watson that loves to extend plays. And when you have a big play receiver outside, a big dude that you can just throw the ball up to, almost like D-Hop, y'all had something like that, right? And you have a receiver, you can just throw it up, he can make the play for you. It do together. What they can do together, excuse me. So I really like this. This is the most undervalued and underappreciated wide receiver in the National Football League, Nick.
Oh, sounds to me like Allen Robinson quickly approaching Brandon Marshall's 16-person top five wide receiver list. Keep an eye on that as the year develops. I am going to agree with you, but I am also going to agree with a disagreement. I 1,000% agree it should be about quarterback, because you're right. Going from Jacksonville to Chicago, the fact that he has had the success that he's had without ever playing a single game in his career with a good quarterback speaks to how good he is. But instead of waiting on where Deshaun's going to go, why wouldn't he just stay in the NFC North and go to Green Bay? Hey, Green Bay, make Aaron Rodgers happy. Give you a guy opposite Devontae Adams. So, Wilds, I say stay in the NFC North. Go sign with Green Bay, the NFC North champions.
Ooh, I love this, Brandon, because we haven't talked enough about the Deshaun Watson effect, just like we talked about the Tom Brady effect. Tom Brady goes to Tampa. All we started hearing news reports very early, other guys are going to want to come play. And next thing you know, AB's there, and Gronk is catching two tutties in the end zone in the Super Bowl. So I think the Deshaun Watson effect is real. The question I have, Jenna, is the timeline of it. Since Deshaun Watson doesn't necessarily control when he's going to move, I think that puts Allen Robinson in a tough spot.
In a tough spot. Yep, agreed. All right, moving on to newly crowned Super Bowl champ Chris Godwin. So numbers dipped a little this year with Tampa Tom. Brandon, which team is the best fit for Godwin now?
Ooh, so this is interesting. They got two free agents out there, right? You got Chris Godwin, you got Antonio Brown, a.k.a. AB. So the Bucks, who do you take? Do you take Chris or do you take AB? You take Chris Godwin. You do. Look, AB, He has his ring. He's going to go get some money. It's a good fit for AB. It's probably the best fit. But AB's about his money. He's going to go get paid somewhere else. You take Chris Godwin because you need to keep someone on the other side of Mike Evans. I don't know the market for him, resident GM. But what I do like is that if you keep this team together, you can potentially repeat. You can go back to back. And this dude, he had a down year. Don't forget, he played with a dang broken finger for half the year. So yep. I think that would be better. Yep. I like what they have created throughout this year, and I want to see them continue to build on that, Nick. So stay your butt in Tampa. You may take a million, $1.5 million cut, but it's okay. You'll make it back on the back end because Tom Brady's going to get you an endorsement deal.
Okay, well, an endorsement deal. Wouldn't even give him money for his jersey, so that would be a nice change from last season. You're right. Playing with Brady cost Godwin his number, cost Godwin his stats, but he did get a ring out of it. But I don't think he's going to be back with the Bucs, Wilds, because I think the Bucs are going to use their free agent money to keep that defense intact. Shaq Barrett needs to get paid, and Lavonte David, one of the most underrated and important pieces of that defense, he's a pending free agent as well, also a lifelong Buck. So I think that AB and Godwin both could be on the move. Brady doesn't care who he's throwing to anyway. Scotty too hot. He's going to get some targets. Gronk's going to get targets. Oh, Mike Evans is a monster. So I think that I think he goes elsewhere. Somewhere he can wear number 12 as well, by the way. Just saying.
Well, you know where you could wear number
14
12.
14 looks good on him.
Come over to New England. We haven't retired it yet. Our buddy Bill Barnwell had him going to the Patriots. 4 years, $78 million. Felt a little rich, but of course, then the domino falls. Hall of Famer Julian Edelman will get in the slot and for Tampa. So I'd like to see him in New England, but I would also like a quarterback. I'd like a lot of things. So maybe Chris Godwin to New England. I'm hoping for.
All right, Brandon, you mentioned AB. Antonio Brown also a pending free agent. What team's the best fit for Antonio Brown, Brandon?
What did you say, Jenna? You said best fit, right? You got the resident GM going best into the fit. Cap space and what you got to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, you hear that, Nick? Best fit, brother. Okay? Stay with me right here. But anyways, look, I think the best fit is in Tampa. Okay? I do. But I got to go with the Baltimore Ravens here because I'm looking at from fit on the field and fit off the field. I think both of these guys are going to be desperate, both parties. I think that, you know, AB, he has a nice lifestyle. You got to go get that money. So you got AB, he's going to chase the bread, and the Ravens will be desperate to pay him because nobody wants to go there because of how they approach offense. They want to run the ball, and they want to run again, and they want to run a little bit more. So why would a wide receiver go here? So now you got AB out there, just got back into the NFL. He's excited to be back, and he also wants his money. So they have to give him the money. They will overpay in this situation, resident GM.
And that's it. By the way, this one I agree with 1,000%. And while he's a down-the-field threat, he's also exceptional at those choice routes, those intermediate routes where Lamar can excel throwing the football, but he's only been throwing it to tight ends on those routes in his young NFL career. So I love this fit for every reason Brandon just mentioned. I think that it's a need for both teams. AB's cousin is obviously already there. So for all those reasons, I like this one the most of all the ones so far, Wilds.
Okay, so here's the weird thing of why I'm not sold on this. Out of all the players on the Bucs, it feels like Tom Brady, outside of Gronk, Tom Brady's got the best relationship with AB. It's like, so maybe he's going to say, like, you know what, AB? You got a ring. Go get your money. But I could see Tom Brady going to the GM and Arians and saying, like, hey, I still want this guy. It's the same reason I brought him to New England and I brought him down here. I've got a special connection with him. And we didn't really hit our potential, even though we won a ring. He only had a handful of touchdowns, missed a lot of half the games. So I could see Tom Brady going to the mattresses to keep AB in Tampa.
You don't want him back in New England?
Arians will be like, I gave it to him once. I'm not doing it twice. On to Kenny Golladay now. Only played 5 games this year. Went over 1,000 yards each of the last 2 seasons. So, Brandon, which team is the best fit for Kenny?
Oh, man, Nick, so you spent time in Houston, a lot of time in Houston covering those teams closely.
Yep.
Do you remember Gary Kubiak and Andre Johnson?
Of course.
Remember those days?
Yeah, of course.
1,500 here. He was Mr. 1,500. And what was that offense? It was the Mike Shanahan offense. And who's out there that continues to run that Shanahan offense? You know, you got the stretch right, stretch left, keeper left,
Kyle Shanahan,
keeper right.
I know the answer.
Kevin Stefanski, perfect fit for him.
Oh, okay, damn.
I love this.
I thought
I see him in Cleveland. Here's why. And this is, we'll get to this later. Odell Beckham Jr., alert, alert. He's going to probably be gone. So now you got to have that big play receiver. You have Jarvis Landry, who's great possession. He's going to give you some big plays here and there. So he's the guy. But you need that person that can cut, that can take the top off and make the big plays like we've seen Odell make game after game after game when he's healthy. So I like Kenny in this situation, Nick.
I like that as well. You're right. I'm maybe doing more resident GM stuff than fit stuff. I don't know if the Browns are going to allocate resources there, even if they lose Odell. I was thinking more along the lines of a team that doesn't even have a Jarvis Landry. A team like the Giants or the Colts that desperately need a number one receiver. And so I wouldn't dislike this for the Browns. But if you look at the Colts, T.Y. Hilton's on the downside. The Giants, I know those are your guys, Brandon, but I don't know if they have a true number one as much as you like Sterling Shepard. So I just feel like Kenny Golladay in one of those spots might make a little more sense, Wilds.
Yeah, I don't know if the Browns need another wide receiver, Nick. Remember, they got their offensive lineman that Baker literally met before the game. Like, hey, how are you doing? I'm Baker Mayfield. Then they went out and won a game. So I just don't know if they're shopping for another offensive weapon for Baker or more protection, which we've seen some teams need to, like, in the Super Bowl. If you lose someone, it's nice to have more protection.
Oh,
not naming any names, Nick.
I got a question for you. If Kenny G's going to Cleveland, then that means, like Brandon, you hinted at, they could possibly be moving on from OBJ. There's a lot of rumors swirling that Odell could be traded, specifically that he could be traded down to Tampa with Tom. So, Brandon, a little bonus round here. Where's the best trade destination for Odell Beckham Jr.?
Ooh, this organization have wasted this player's time. This organization continues to make the wrong decisions in the draft. This organization continues to make the wrong decision in free agency. If I'm the Green Bay Packers, I'm doing everything I can to get this kid there. You have 1 year to get it done. You wasted so much time of Aaron Rodgers' time. You wasted his career. Y'all should have 2, 3, 4 Super Bowls right now. You don't. Go get this kid and it's lights out. But, Nick, I do like where you were going earlier this week with him potentially going to KC. If I'm Odell, you got to go play with a legendary quarterback. Get your career back on track. You got to go to Aaron Rodgers. I love that. But, Nick, I do like, you know, potentially him in KC. Yeah. I heard you talking about it.
I think KC would have been in the market for him if they did, their offensive line didn't get decimated in the Super Bowl. Now I think they're going to spend all their resources there. I'm going to, not only is this right, Brandon, and I want to be clear and careful how I say this. Odell plans and wants to remain with the Browns. But if he were traded, Green Bay is at the very, very, very top of that list. If someone were to ask him, like, hey, you're being traded, where do you want to go? Green Bay would be, he wouldn't say, I want to be traded, but he would say, well, okay, you're trading me. It's definite you're trading me. Okay, Green Bay is the number one choice.
So are you trying to tell us something without telling us something, Nick? Are you trying to tell us something without telling us something, Nick?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what I'm telling you.
Okay.
So you know what I think could push this over, Jenna? Got to get the Aaron Rodgers, like, you know, subtext coming back. Like, oh, you know, just start liking OBJ on Instagram. Like, oh, that's a nice picture. We know that Aaron Rodgers has to be a little bit sly. Show up on Pat McAfee. Oh, who's the special guest? Oh, it's Odell. Oh, we're doing like a little combo interview. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, good.
Start connecting the dots. Yep.
Hey, Jenna.
What's
they
that?
Don't do good with their first round picks. Just give it to Odell. Give it to Cleveland for Odell.
That's right.
Smart.
That's
just
right.
Just finish it right there. No, Cleveland needs a quarterback. Maybe they'll get the Rodgers rate for Odell. Who knows? Take a turn. Busy night in the NBA. Is Steph Curry making a case for MVP after another 40-point night? Guess who says I don't think so on our panel? Nick Wright has got something to say about that. It's next. It's First Things First.
Jenna, did you say Cleveland needs a quarterback? I think it's time to abandon.
Back here in First Things First, time to run the fast break with Chris Broussard. We're talking Steph and the Warriors. Man, he had himself a night. Dropped 40 on the Magic in a win. Hey, Broussard, Steph's been on a tear. Is it good enough for legit MVP consideration?
It is an incredible tear, Jenna. 37 points, 51% shooting from three, 57% overall in February. That's about six games. He's playing terrifically, but it's going to come down to wins for them. Right now, he's definitely behind LeBron and Joel Embiid. They have to win about 44 games, and they absolutely have to be like a fourth seed at least in the West. Right now, they're eighth. They're two games back from the fourth seed, so it's possible. But they got to win about 44, and they're on pace to win 39. I say 44 because that's the equivalent of a 50-game win season in 82 games. And in the last 40 years, only one time has a player from a team not winning 50 games at least won MVP. That was Russell Westbrook in, you know, the first triple-double since Oscar Robertson. So I don't think they're going to win enough games. But if they do, and if AD really is a problem with his Achilles injury, and LeBron, you know, the Lakers come back to the pack a bit, and Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard miss too many games, then, you know, Steph's chances improve greatly.
This is an outrageous question, and this is not shade to Steph. But right now, if the ballot, the Broussard has the official ballot, it's five names you got to list. Expand it to eight, and Steph's still isn't on it. Ooh. You can't be a 500 team. You cannot be a 500 team and be an MVP candidate. That's the rules.
Right.
And by the way, Steph benefited from this. Broussard, when Steph won his first MVP, do you know what his numbers were? 24 points per game.
Yeah, 23 and 8 or
4
7.
4 rebounds and 7 assists. Exactly right. So why'd he win it? Because they were the best team in basketball. It didn't matter his numbers weren't overwhelming. It was because he was the best player on the best team. You can't win the MVP from the 7th seed. So right now, this is not a discussion, Chris, Brandon. It doesn't exist.
Chris, do you want me to gracefully bow out? Do you want to respond to this? Or do you want me to go? What do you want, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, to say eight players, first of all, a lot of teams aren't having great seasons record-wise. It is a lot more jumbled. I agree with you. If they're the 7th seed, he's not going to win the MVP. Where I disagree is that he'd be 8th or 9th on your list. He is playing so well, and so his game is so dynamic that the people are going to take that into consideration. Again, he can't win it this low. I'm just saying if they got to the fourth seed and LeBron's Lakers without AD come back to the pack record-wise, then he's got a shot. That's all I'm saying. But 8th, 9th?
Listen, you guys are basically saying the same thing. But your take, Nick, just like, oh, he absolutely shouldn't be a part of the discussion. He won't even make the top 8. That's just ridiculous. Look, I share the same sentiment that you do, Chris, as Chris, right? Like, he should be praised for this. The biggest question mark around Steph Curry was, well, KD's no longer there. Klay Thompson goes down. Can he carry this team? And he's shown us that he can. He should be praised for it. But I am with Nick. If you're sitting there at the 8th seed, you can't win MVP. One guy has done that. You already said his name, Chris, and that is Russell Westbrook, who averaged a triple-double.
Off the top of my head, very quickly, LeBron, Embiid, Jokic, Kawhi.
There you go.
Kevin Durant.
Why? Jokic, their record isn't much better.
What? Wait just a moment. I said off the top of my head, Giannis, and you know what? Let's throw in Donovan Mitchell because they're 20-5.
Yeah.
There's 7 guys. That's 7 guys. Go ahead, Jenna.
You don't want to put any respect on Kyrie?
But does it... But does anyone look like they're having more fun than Steph right now? I'll just say that. How about this, guys? 2021 Carmelo Anthony pulling a 2010 Carmelo Anthony last night. 17 fourth quarter points. Portland beats the Sixers. Broussard, you surprised the Sixers let Melo go off like that in the fourth?
No, I'm not, because Melo has been hot. If you look at it, in four of his last five games, he scored over 20 points, including a week ago when he put 22 on the Sixers in a win without C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. So Portland's a strange matchup, obviously, for Philadelphia. And for a guy like Melo, outside of LeBron James, guys his age, they can't do it every night, but every so often they can turn back the clock. So it wasn't surprising to see Melo do this. Good for him.
I'm happy for him. He's, you know, he's a Syracuse guy like myself. He brought Syracuse our only championship. He's the greatest Olympian ever. And Brandon, he is proving you right and a lot of GMs wrong in that the discussion a year and a half ago was, is his career over? Is should he be out of the league? And the fact that he's able to do this, even if it's not on a night-in, night-out basis, Brandon, is pretty remarkable.
Right, right. Water. That's what you need to say when you talk about Carmelo Anthony. Look, he's going to be 50 years old, 60 years old, playing in the Rutgers and still dropping 50, 60 points. Like, when you can get buckets, you can get buckets anytime. I don't need to hear your stats, Chris, on Melo. We know who Melo is. He's one of the greatest scorers the game has ever seen. So I love this, and I'm not surprised. Wilds.
Okay, every morning when I talk to our researcher, Dusty, I say, hey, Dusty, how are you? And he says, hi, Kevin. Friendly reminder that the starting five of the Sixers are now 14-1. I said, well, Dusty, tough day. He's like, well, did you know that Seth Curry is 50-50-100, yet to miss a free throw? So keep an eye on that. Those are the two stats that Dusty keeps on telling me every morning. So although this is a Carmelo question, in our mind, it's a Sixers question.
I think Dusty needs a seat at the table. One of these days, we got to give Dusty a seat at the table. So the Lakers
That's
Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis. He's been out the last two games. He's got that Achilles tendonitis. Said he's been feeling pain in that calf the last couple of weeks. Makes me nervous to hear that. Broussard, how serious is AD's Achilles injury for the Lakers' chances of repeating? They need him.
Oh, it's as serious as it gets. Now, the injury apparently isn't that serious. They didn't do an MRI. They did an ultrasound. That's a good sign that they didn't feel like they needed to do an MRI. But look, you cannot play around with this. Be as cautious as you need to be. I don't care how long you need to sit him out. You know, it seems like he's not going to sit out that long. But I would just do whatever I needed to do to get him right, because the Lakers, as great as LeBron is playing, have no chance of winning the championship if AD can't play. Defense is huge for them, and while he's down offensively, his defense has been tremendous. They need AD to win it all. Absolutely.
All right, well, I would pump the brakes a bit on no chance. No chance is a bit strong, but they go from overwhelming consensus, massive favorites, to like the fourth most likely team to win the title if AD were to be out. So what do you do, Wilds? You sit him out. You sit him out as long as he needs until that is 100%. Why do you have the luxury of doing that? Because you have the most durable, reliable, best athlete ever to take on the workload in year 18. If he needs to be out until March, no problem. Because if he's healthy in the playoffs, the Lakers are going to roll to their second straight title. That's all they need to worry about right now.
Okay, I know that it sounds like a foolish take, but I don't know how long that you can just keep on pushing LeBron with these crazy minutes. I don't think that was the game plan going in. So, Nick, I totally agree with you that AD should sit as long as possible. There's McMenamin wrote a great article, and he said, look, AD wanted to sort of shake off two sort of narratives about his career. One was that he couldn't win, check mark, got that one done. Two was that he was a little injury prone, a little fragile. And there's an idea that he was maybe pushing a little bit too hard to try to shake that other narrative, that he can do it. Well, you know what? Don't worry about that. Sit, relax. But unlike Nick, I am a little bit worried if you have to keep on playing LeBron. near 40 minutes just to sort of
but
like
that's
keep
only
your
an overtime
team at the top of the West.
That's only overtime games. LeBron's minutes are fine.
I want LeBron playing less, not more.
Hey guys, Kevin Durant played a little defense last night, defending his buddy Kyrie, saying on his podcast, quote, "Kyrie's gonna play a nice, efficient game this year. All that other expletive, I was never concerned with that." Broussard, what is he talking about here? What do you make of KD's comments?
Well, look, obviously these two are close, so I imagine that KD was in touch with Kyrie. I don't know for sure, but, you know, during Kyrie's hiatus, he was probably talking to KD and assuring him, look, I'm not retiring. I'm just getting my head straight. I'll be back soon. Don't worry. I'm all in. So, look, if Kyrie is playing, no one outside of FS1's resident tier monster, Nick Wright, is going to question how well he's going to play. KD knows if he's on the court, he's going to ball. This dude is awesome. 27-5 since he's been back. I'm not surprised, and neither is KD.
Nobody doubts. These personal shots are not appreciated, not in unnecessary, Chris Broussard. Nobody doubts.
Are you not the tier monster?
I am the tier emperor. But nobody doubts how great Kyrie Irving is on the offensive end of the court. I like this quote. Kyrie's going to play a nice, efficient game this year. The dot, 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 what we didn't include in the quote was on the offensive end, on the defensive end, he's going to watch. I think KD said that. I'm going to have to double check. So listen, he's an unbelievable, transcendent, all-time great offensive player to go with two of his teammates, James Harden and Kevin Durant, who are both that. I do think, Brandon, the bigger story here is Kevin Durant seems satisfied and unconcerned that Kyrie could take another leave of absence because the Nets can't have him take another leave of absence now that the depth is gone post-Harden trade. So it seems like KD's not concerned about that, and that to me is the biggest news here.
Yeah, and also, Nick, I mean, he's playing more than efficient. I mean, this dude is having an MVP year. Let's be honest here. So I'm shocked that you don't have him or you don't want to even consider him in your top eight when you talk about the MVP race. But that's a whole nother discussion. Look, I'm not surprised by this. It makes sense to me. And the reason why, like you go to the Celtics, a young team, they're impressionable. So those idiosyncrasies that you may have off the field, off the court, affects you on the court. So that's why it didn't work out there. Now you take a veteran team, DeAndre Jordan, you got the beard, you got KD, those idiosyncrasies, that become bonding moments for you. The whole earth is flat, the saging, the walking sticks, those are things that we'll throw up on the screen in our team meeting and laugh about, and we all come together. So I'm not surprised by this because I understand the dynamic of the locker room and the maturation of young athletes being impressionable to guys walking into their own. So I get this.
All right. Set that aside, because we got to get back to the NFL, and we got to talk about the Seahawks' Russell Wilson, who might be another team's Russell Wilson next season. Teams are calling, but is Seattle picking up the phone? It's next. Thank you, Broussard.
You're welcome.
Back here talking Patrick Mahomes. Big off season on deck for Mahomes. He had foot surgery. Guy's going to be a dad for the first time. Maybe catch a rerun of the Super Bowl. Of course he's going to catch a rerun of the Super Bowl. He's got to find out how exactly the Bucs shut him down. Mike Vick back with us now. Mike, that Bucs defense came up with a way to stop the Chiefs. Do you expect teams to just copy that same game plan going into next season?
Absolutely not. And this is good news for Patrick Mahomes, this segment right here. Because you can't duplicate the personnel or the scheme that Todd Bowles put together. And Brandon raved about Todd Bowles all year for all the right reasons. And like I said, I had spent some time with Todd Bowles and I understand that scheme. It's just not going to happen because, you know, for one, you know, he's one of the greater defensive minds in the game of football. And you only have 5 months to put a scheme like that together. So teams won't be able to put a scheme together that could stop Patrick Mahomes the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did. And, you know, Patrick has to realize, and the more he think this through, you know, he'll see that not having those three offensive linemen on the field really affected the game plan. He was on the move and backing up more than we ever seen him back up or, you know, scramble in a long time. So it was just uncharted waters for their offense, uncharted waters for Patrick, and he has nothing to worry about. This is a copycat league, but you can't copy that scheme or that personnel. It takes time to put that together.
So Mike Vick is obviously clearly correct here, Kevin Wilds, but that is not going to prevent, and I say this with no due respect, doofuses such as yourself for the next 8 months explaining to me how the Chiefs have been, how they've been found out. Listen, here's the recipe to stopping Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to lay it out for you. You have a former head coach turned great defensive coordinator scheming. You have two of the fastest inside linebackers in football. You have a spectacular defensive line. Add to that the Chiefs being down four of their five starting offensive linemen, and as a nice little bonus, Patrick Mahomes having a foot injury that immediately needs surgery. If all of those things happen, then the Chiefs, it would appear, can be beaten. Luckily for the Chiefs, none of those things will be happening next year. So there is no blueprint. This is not a game plan. This is not a, well, wait, how do we do it? Okay, yeah, no, it's not duplicable. But so, yeah, I agree with Mike and Brandon shaking his head. You're laughing at me, but you can't duplicate the offensive line, Mahomes' injury, Bucks personnel, and Todd Bowles. You just can't.
Okay. I know you're emotional about this still. For the record, I have yet to say anything in this segment.
He was right.
I haven't said anything. And I,
yeah.
But I am going to give you, Nick, an olive branch, because I saw something yesterday that made me think that the Chiefs can get back to the Super Bowl. And I asked you in the break, I said, Nick, have you seen the highlights of the sound up? And for you, they would be lowlights of the Super Bowl. You're like, no, I'm never going to watch it again. I said, okay. At the end of the game, while you are being blown out, destroyed, your dreams just crushed, the idea that you could go back to back and go back to the Patriots just crumpled up and thrown into the garbage, there was a saving grace. Tyrann Mathieu is walking around the sideline with such confidence and I would say grace. He's saying, finish like a champion. Finish like a champion. We've been here before. Finish like a champion. He's giving guys high fives. It's almost like a, it felt like a pump up speech for next year. And look, everybody can be a great leader when you're winning the game, right? It's like Jordan in The Last Dance with the baseball bat. It's like easy to talk when you're winning. But he's getting blown out, and there's such leadership and confidence that it made me think, oh man, I actually felt bad. I was like, Nick has got a point here. The Chiefs can go back to back with leadership like Tyrann Mathieu. So I know you're going to think it's a low light, but I suggest that you check it out. It really made me feel good about the Chiefs.
Okay, well, I'll never watch the game again. I have no need to, but I am glad to hear that. I am very curious to hear what Brandon Marshall has to say about if teams can duplicate what the Bucks did.
I mean, Mike hit it on the head. There's really nothing I can add to. Well, I can add to. I can maybe go a little deeper. So Mike talked about the personnel, and he talked about the scheme, right? So let's talk about Todd Bowles. And I said this earlier this week, talking to Phil Sims, Ray Lewis, and playmaker Mike Irvin. The greatest run in playoff history, this guy, Todd Bowles, beat Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. Like, you can't duplicate that. It's just impossible, right? And then from a player's perspective, we've seen teams, the blueprint was set. So when we talk about scheme, the blueprint was set actually by Bill Belichick going back to 2019. Okay, so they set the blueprint. What did he do? He rushed forward and he played soft zone. Who actually built off of that? The Las Vegas Raiders, that's how they beat them this year. Who tried to do it again? The Buffalo Bills, but they didn't have the personnel. What do we mean by the personnel? Devontae David, right? Look at him. That you got to understand, you got to have guys with high football IQ when you play zone. It can't just be, this is cover three, I'm dropping to the numbers, and I got curl to flat. You got to understand when the number two goes to the flat, now number one becomes your guy. You can't just sit on the numbers. You got to actually go and absorb that guy. So the Buffalo Bills had the perfect defense, but they didn't have the personnel. So you have Patrick Mahomes just out there picking apart these guys. So it's going to be hard for teams to do that. Now, what was surprising is Todd Bowles and his defense, they actually stopped Patrick Mahomes. That's damn near impossible. But there are teams, Nick, and this is where you guys got to be nervous. There's teams out there that can slow you guys down. We know Patrick Mahomes can go out there and score 40 points a game. But if you can hold him to 20, now you're giving your offense a chance. Now you're going to be in a game in the fourth quarter. So what you'll see, the guys like the Miami Dolphins, you got guys like the Las Vegas Raiders, you got other teams out there that can go out there and slow them down and giving their offense an opportunity to win it in the fourth. So they shouldn't be scared, but they definitely should be, you know, thinking twice about how they look at these teams.
Just watch the game again, Nick, one time. Plenty of big name receivers on the market going into next season. Brandon will tell you which place fits which face next. First things first. Back here talking the Great American Race. We are just 2 days away from the start of the NASCAR season. Coverage starts Sunday, 1 Eastern on Fox. Fox Bet Sportsbook, guys, has Denny Hamlin as the odds-on favorite. You're looking to wager here. He can make history. He's the first back-to-back-to-back winner ever. But I don't know. Nick, you're usually pretty good at this stuff. Who you got winning the Daytona 500?
I'm going with my heart. No analysis here. I'm rooting for Bubba. It'll be the first time in my life I've rooted for Michael Jordan, so that'll be a nice change. Bubba Wallace, great podcast with Shannon Sharp. Great story. I'm rooting for Bubba. I'll pick Bubba, Brandon.
Look, a couple years ago, my Uncle Clinton, he was like, Brandon, you got to go to Daytona. Can you get us tickets? I said, what? I'm not going to go watch cars go round and round and round. And then I end up going. And I fell in love with this sport. And there was one driver that gave me all access, and that was Rowdy. I'm a big Kyle Busch fan. And look, last year he could have won it until the engine failed out. So pit crew, get the job done so our guy can be standing there with the confetti coming down. I'm going with Rowdy.
All right, I'm going with the pride of New England, Joey Logano. Won it in 2015. Always been in the hunt. Wrecked last year. This is the year you can get number two, Jenna.
I like it. Good options. Make one this Sunday. Check it out. Only on Fox. Time now for stories to start. Your morning sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Guys, I spent last night hanging out with my kids making dinner. Brandon spent his night hanging out with Cam Newton making conversations. He was on his I Am Athlete podcast talking about his present and his future, the hot topic, where Cam might end up next season. Brandon, Cam told you he'd be happy to return to New England. Is that what the Patriots want, though?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not so sure. Brandon, talk us through what he told you.
Yeah, Jenna, 100%. It was an awesome time with him we had yesterday. You know, spent the whole day. As soon as he landed in from Atlanta, he started out working out. So it was cool to see him grind and still lock in there. And then that evening, had an opportunity to sit down with him and on the I Am Athlete podcast and really dive into three things. There was three things I want to talk about. Well, the fourth thing was entrepreneurship. I want to talk about some of his ventures off the field. But on the field, there was three things I wanted to talk about. Number one, what the hell happened? Like, before COVID hit, I mean, we were talking about, whilst you on the show was like, should the Patriots consider extending him now? Is it possible? This dude entered the season playing against the Miami Dolphins, 15 rushes, 75 yards, and he looked like he was becoming the old Cam Newton. Then you go into Sunday Night Football. Our guys had the game, and you saw Cam Newton throw for 397 yards, and it came down to the last play pretty much where he quarterback sweep left, and then they get stuffed. And then after the game, we're talking about, did Josh McDaniels call the right call? And then you fast forward week four, and this dude, you know, get hit with COVID-19, and then it was like the wheels fell off. So when I talked to him about that, he was just like, man, to be honest, when I went out there before that, it was like white 80, everything was clear. And he just talked about, not having an offseason, and that was the biggest thing for him, being Superman and having this Teflon on and thinking that he can do everything, and he really started to appreciate the time he needed. He felt like he needed. Because we were sitting here like, man, what's going on here? And the last thing, right, and I didn't even talk about that earlier, and that was the arm. Nick, we kept saying, like, is something wrong with his arm, his throwing mechanic? What's going on there? So it was really cool to sit down with Cam to get his thoughts there. The second thing was, like, are you going to play? You know, yeah, he said, these reports about, you know, retirement on the table, he said, man, there's no way I'm going out like that. So it was pretty cool to hear that. And then the last thing, like I said, was the arm. And he thinks it's all mental. He feels like he didn't understand everything he needed to really get the job done. When you think about the Patriot way, you think about Josh McDaniels, most people go out there and say 11 personnel, and that's three wide receivers, one tight end, one running back. But in that system, you got 11 personnel, but he can say Army, he can say Navy, that changes everybody's position. You got Trey, you got Tricks, you got Trips. So he felt like his process was slow. So it was kind of interesting to hear him go through the Patriot way, Nick.
So here's the only issue that I would have is that all of that I believe to be true, but what's also true is he did not look right, and it did not look like Cam was the problem was that it was slow processing. It looked like the problem was that his shoulder hurt. It looked like it took much more effort than in years past just to throw the ball down the field. Now, he knows his body better than me, and you sat with him for a few hours, but it just, from afar, I think everyone watched and was like, Cam doesn't look right. Now, does that mean he can't be back with the Patriots? Absolutely not, because Wilds, right now, taking a flyer for year two of Cam is actually their best option. There is, like, are you going to start a rookie from the 15th pick of the draft? What are you going to do? No. Like, there is not another obvious option. And for Cam, if his shoulder isn't totally right, you either want to go to New England or to Washington, one of two places where you've built up some sweat equity, where if it takes you time to get back right physically, you can have a bit of a margin of error. Because if he goes to Chicago and looks terrible, they have no loyalty to him. They cut him in the offseason. So I do think it's likely to be back in New England, but if that shoulder isn't better, no matter how quickly he processes things, I don't know why the results would be that different.
Yeah, so here's my problem. I'm naturally an optimistic fella. I just think things are gonna work out, and I thought they were gonna work out this year, and after the Seahawks game, I felt okay, even though we lost it. I was like, we're 1 yard away and Cam looked good. Then things went kind of downhill there, Brandon. Cam threw for under 100 yards four times. He was benched a few times, too. Threw for 8 touchdowns. Right. Well, Dak Prescott threw for 9 and only started a handful of games. He has some decent passes. Like, there's one here from Damir Bird. I'm like, well, you know, not bad. Maybe he still got it. It still looked a little laborious, though. But here's the thing. And, Nick, I'll actually throw it to you. It's a different vibe in New England now that we saw Tom Brady win the Super Bowl. There is no time for maybe give it another year. Tom Brady is coming into Gillette. We don't know the day, but I don't think Bill Belichick wants to see Tom Brady show up and get, you know, destroyed like, you know, he just destroyed your Chiefs. I think there is a win now mentality. Not like there always hasn't been, but there is extra pressure to figure this out and make it work, because Bill Belichick does not want to see Tom Brady continue to succeed and him continue to fail.
The opt-outs are back and you got cap space. All these things are true. I do find it interesting, though, to me, that the newsiest part of what Brandon told us is that even though last year Brandon didn't go the way Cam wanted, he would like a chance not only to continue his career, which I think most of us expected, but to continue his career in New England. How do you think that if he went back to New England, Brandon, and they did add one of those weapons we were talking about in the previous segment, it would look a lot different than it did last year, Brandon?
100%. That was one of the things that we talked about, was him not having a dog. That was the thing that Ocho Cinco kept leaning into, is like, that's a big deal, not having a wide receiver, not having a tight end that you can lean on. And then on the other end, you know, I got to trust Cam. I got to believe when you talk about process, because that's a big deal. We saw Tom Brady go to a new team, Jenna, and succeed. It took some time to figure it out. And then you see, you know, Cam Newton have some success early, but then struggle. That is a big deal when you're not comfortable out there. We call it being a slow blinker. You can't be a slow blinker out on the field and have success, Jenna.
I don't know how much patience and grace Bill Belichick is going to have, but we shall see. Have a great weekend, everyone. Undisputed starts right now.